Before we get started, I want to read a little brief bio of a gentleman by the name of Edward Mote. Edward Mote. Edward Mote was a pastor and hymn writer, born in London on the 21st of January, 1797. His parents managed a pub and often left Edward to his own devices playing in the streets. Speaking of these childhood years, he once said, "So ignorant was I that I did not know that there was a God." He was finally exposed to the Christian gospel and was baptized at age 18. He was trained as a cabinet maker and worked in London for 37 years. Only in his 50s did he enter into ministry, and was the pastor of Rehoboth Baptist Church in Horsham, West Sussex, for 26 years. He was well liked by the congregation of Horsham, and they offered him the church building as a gift. Mote replied, "I do not want the chapel, I only want the pulpit. And when I cease to preach Christ, then turn me out of that." He died November 13th, 1874, and is buried in the churchyard of Rehoboth Church. If you don't know who Edward Mote is, there's a famous hymn that he wrote. And that hymn is, "My hope is built on nothing less." Or in other words, it's called "The Solid Rock." In 2019, New Berean, we must be reintroduced to our hope. Our hope is not in our jobs. Our hope is not in our families. Our hope is not in our education. Yes, you are to have a job. Yes, you are to strive to be the best you can be in 2019. But your hope is not rested upon that and that alone. That's just ancillary gifts that God provides for us. But our hope in 2019 should not be built on nothing less than Christ, the solid rock, and his righteousness. It says, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust in the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. When darkness seems to hide his face." See, let me tell us something. In 2018, we had some dark times. In 2019, you will have some dark times. Keep living. It's just the reality of life. And sometimes things can get so dark to us that it seems to veil the face of our hope. But let's see what Pastor Mote says. He says, "When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil." Oh, so when darkness veils Christ, we're still anchored in him. I don't have to see his face, but still be anchored in his grace. Oh, I haven't even started yet. Let's keep going. "His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood." You ever been flooded out with trials and depression and tribulation and uncertainty and frustration? We're anchored in Christ, saints. "Support me in the whelming flood when all around my soul gives way. He then is all my hope and stay." See, you can't even depend on yourself in 2019. Your hope is built on nothing less. Let me break that down to the nuances. Or let me keep going. "When he shall come with trumpet sound." We just heard that. The rapture. "Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." Are y'all ready for the word tonight? To echo Pastor Moat's lament over 100 plus years ago, in 2019, your hope, my hope, should be exclusively placed on and placed in Jesus Christ. Jesus is so powerful. Y'all mind if I talk about Jesus tonight? Jesus is so powerful. No matter what you bring to his situation, no matter what you bring to his feet, he's far greater. He's far superior. The pain, he's a pain healer. The sickness, he can make you well. Your job situation, he can regulate your mind. When your heart is troubled, he's a mind regulator. He's a heart fixer. When you feel like you got to cross a dangerous river, he's a bridge over troubled water. That's the Jesus that we are to put our hope in. Because if I take your hope away, you will not have faith. Because hope gives birth to faith. And faith without works is dead. So you cannot have works that are alive if you don't have faith. But you can't have faith if you don't first have hope. The devil doesn't want to take our faith. He wants to kill our hope. But when my hope is in Jesus Christ, he cannot be killed because he's already died one time. And he was not killed that time either. He laid his body down for the ransom and propitiation for our sins to reconcile God unto man. So in 2019, who would you put your hope into? My hope is built on nothing less. See, less is a mathematical term that talks about value. There's nothing greater than Christ. There's nothing more valuable than Christ. When I remove Christ, I just remove my value. And there's nothing less. There's nothing better to build your life on than Jesus Christ. There's nothing better to build your business on. There's nothing better to build your dreams and aspirations on than the anchor of Jesus Christ. Is anybody with me? Turn with me to Luke chapter 5. And there are three things I want to leave with us tonight. But as you guys are turning to Luke chapter 5, I'm going to read very familiar passage in Hebrews chapter 11. But I'm going to go up to chapter 10 because there may be somebody in here right now, you're this close to losing hope. 2018 has beat you up so bad that your hope is fading away. But I come tonight on assignment to hopefully help you restore your hope, because there's no one better to have your hope in than none other than Jesus the Christ. Amen. Now in Hebrews, y'all keep Luke. I'm going to get there, but I'm going to start at Hebrews just to introduce us. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, the writer says, "For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith." Did y'all hear that, saints? In 2019, we got to live by faith. Amen. "And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him." But catch this. Verse 39 in chapter 10 says, "But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction." See, let me tell us something. When we start to lose hope in our anchor, there's no other place but destruction is waiting for us. So the writer here, many theologians believe it's Paul because the language sounds very Pauline, but we're not going to argue over that. But the writer of Hebrews is saying, look, I want to admonish you that when you shrink back from your hope, destruction is the only result you're going to get. Many of us in 2018 have had some things destroyed, not because we wanted it to happen that way. It's because we left our first love. Many of us shrunk back from our hope. But if we have not clearly defined what our hope is in, then we will never know how to stay balanced in an imbalanced world. Because as long as you live, you're going to get hit with different things. And see, the enemy wants us to stay off balance. Because as long as I'm off balance, I don't have solid ground. As long as I'm off balance, I can't love my wife. As long as I'm off balance, I can't serve the Lord. As long as I'm off balance, I can't be the best person on my job. As long as I'm off balance, I cannot do the things that God has for me to do. Have you ever been off balance? Let's look a bit further. He says, but we are not those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. Now we get into the famous verse. Well, what is this faith that you're talking about that gives me endurance and that keeps me from shrinking back to destruction? This is the faith. Now faith. Now faith is the assurance or the substance of things, what? Uh-oh. Now, when you understand how words fit together in a phrase, a lot of times we focus on the faith without talking about the hope. Even though hope follows faith in sequence, in syntax, hope comes before faith. See, hope is the birth mother of faith. Faith is the conduit, or it is the channel in which work comes through. No faith, your work is dead. Amen? He says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. So all of us in here tonight have things in our lives that we're hoping for in 2019. Now, the hope, you can't necessarily see it. The faith you can see, but the faith is the physical representation of an abstract called hope. Are y'all walking with me? See, I use this sanctuary as an example because this is something we all remember when we didn't have this sanctuary. Before the faith of the members came together as a family to contribute to erecting or building this new sanctuary, God gave the vision to Pastor to tear down and rebuild. But he had the hope that the building could be built through vision. Once the hope was established in God, then the faith had to follow the hope. See, hope doesn't follow faith. Oh, y'all not walking with me. Faith follows the hope. And the reason why the devil wants to rob us of our hope is because the action is introduced by faith. Oh, y'all not walking with me. See, hope opens up the door. Faith comes through the door, but it's the works of faith that shuts everything down in the room. Are y'all walking with me? So the enemy goes after our hope. So when we get those bad doctor's reports, he's not going after your faith. He's going after your hope. Because if I kill your hope, I don't have to worry about the faith. And if I don't have to worry about the faith, I'm not going to have to worry about the work. And if I don't have to worry about the work, I don't have to worry about any results. He says, now faith is the assurance. It makes sense now. I can be assured because I already got the hope taken care of. It's the assurance of things I hope for. It is the evidence of things not seen. We don't know what's going to happen in 2019. But because our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness, I bear not trust in the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. See, Christ is my hope. And now that he's my hope, my faith is going to come as a byproduct of my hope. So the enemy wants us to put our hope in anything but Christ. Yes, we put hope in the doctor, but it's limited hope. Yes, we put hope in the tax man, but it's limited hope. Yes, we put hope in our paycheck, but it's limited hope. And for me, it's very limited hope. Too limited for. But my hope, catch this. He says my hope is built. Uh-oh. Built is a construction term. Construction means there has to be a footing before there's ever a floor. And after I have a floor, I put up the walls. And after the walls, I put on the roof. And then I add the garnishments to the building. So my hope is built on nothing less. That means you have to dig a foundation. You have to go down before you come up. Oh, man. Oh, my gosh. See, sometimes you got to go down in some mud with Jesus Christ. And as you go through the mud with Christ, he's putting cement down to anchor you. And then you come up higher and higher and higher. And then when people see you in your muddy days, then they come back and see you with a roof over your head. You give glory to the hope that you've been anchored in. Is anybody with me? It says, it is the conviction of things not seen. Why do we constantly tell people about Jesus Christ? Because our hope, we have hope that we're going to see him one day. We have hope that absent from the body, Brother Newby, is to be present with the Lord. That's why you keep going on, because your hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. See, hope will take me through hell and high water and even death. My hope in Christ is so powerful that hope goes in the grave and come right out of the grave. Didn't Jesus die? Wasn't he buried? But the Bible says he rose. And he is our hope. If he rose, we will rise. Is anybody with me? Verse 2 says, for by it, that's faith and hope, men gained approval. If my hope is built on Jesus Christ, my hope connects me to me being approved of God. Is anybody with me? He says, by faith, we understand, let the church say understand, that the worlds were prepared. All right, this is not evolution. The worlds were prepared by the word of God. Oh, I don't think y'all getting this. A lot of times we want to say it was the hands of God. God doesn't need hands to create worlds. This says the word of God. But my hope is built on Jesus. Well, this says the word of God. Can I speak dual language here? In the beginning was the word, the Logos, the divine mind. And the word was with God. And the word was God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Y'all not walking with me? It says, the word of God, so that, so that, once you got that under control, so that what is seen was not made out of the things that are visible. The trees were made by God's word. The birds were made by God's word. Isn't that a blessing? So if my hope is in the unseen God that man has never seen before, then I know he can take care of the things that I see every day. Somebody will get that. Turn with me to Luke. You should have Luke. There are three things I want to leave with us tonight. Talking about our hope, and we know our hope is in none other than Jesus Christ and him crucified. We have verse 17, say amen. 5:17. We're going to look at some gentlemen who had hope. Will you have it? Say amen. One day, when he, talking about Jesus, was teaching, there were some Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present for him to perform miracles. Now, the first point I want to make is that Jesus is our source of hope. Okay? Jesus Christ is your source of hope. Let's move further. Verse 18 says, and some men were carrying on a bed a man who was paralyzed. Let the church say paralyzed. And they were trying to bring him in and to set him down in front of him. Now we got to understand something, that whenever Jesus is in the house, hope automatically is there. Jesus is not in a synagogue teaching. He's in a house. And in this house, he was surrounded. People on the front row were very religious people. Teachers of the law, but they didn't know God. You see, I used to believe that if you sat in the back of church, you really didn't care about what was being preached. But in this context, it was those who was in front, right up on Jesus, that could touch the hem of his garment, that did not believe. Yet they were very religious. See, our hope is in the person of Jesus Christ, not in religion. Is anybody with me? So 18 through 21 says, and some men were carrying on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were trying to bring him in to set him down in front of him. Talk about hope and faith mixed in right there. But not finding any way to bring him in because of the who? They went up on the roof and let him down through the tiles with his stretcher into the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. Now catch this. My first point is Jesus is the source of our hope. But my second point is Hope connected to Jesus will cause us to outperform our limitations. In 2019, there are going to be some limitations that's not going anywhere. There's going to be some barriers that's not going anywhere. There's going to be some people not going anywhere. There's going to be some supervisors not going anywhere. But when you have your hope in Jesus, and you realize that wherever Jesus is, I have all the hope that I need. As a matter of fact, I got more hope than I need. When Jesus is in the equation, regardless of the limitations other people ascribe upon you, you can outperform those limitations. See, these men understood that their friend was paralyzed. Now, he could have stayed paralyzed, but because he knew hope was in the house, he couldn't get there. Somebody had to carry him there. So in order for him to even have that to happen, he wasn't so paralyzed that he couldn't move his mouth. Y'all got to catch this. Sometimes life will sting us so bad that we become immobilized. Can't move, but you still got a mouth. This paralyzed man had to communicate with these able-bodied men to come up with a strategy to not only get to Jesus, but if that didn't work, get around the limitations and blockades and fences to go beyond the limitations. They had to think outside of the box. So this says here that these men, when they saw, oh, this is beautiful, when they saw that they could not get to him because of the crowd, oh, just because you want to get to Jesus, don't think it won't be a crowd of people blocking you. There'll be a crowd of people saying, why are you trying so hard? Why are you still believing that he can do the impossible? Why are you even wasting your time? Why are you still coming to church? Why are you every year, New Year's Eve, you go to church to hear the same old sermon? Why you just can't be with the crowd? Why do you got to be so different? These men didn't care about the political affiliation of the crowd. They were caring about this brother being able to walk again because their hope gave them faith. And their faith was the substance that gave them the energy to pick up his cot and say, we're going to take you by faith. Now, Jesus could have said no, but it's not about what you think Jesus might say. It's about you still taking the advantage of having access to the throne of God boldly, and you still make your request. See, many of us Christians are going to die in a paralytic state because you didn't open your mouth to tell God how you really felt. We come to church and have this fake smiles, knowing we hurting. Everything's fine. God is good all the time and all the time. God is good. Knowing you're considering doing some things that you should not be doing. These men said, look, we have one mission, and that is, we have to get our friend where hope is. We got to get him. See, we can see Jesus teaching from a far part, but we need to get up close to him. And the paralyzed man, catch this, the paralyzed man still had a job to do. He still had a responsibility to communicate back and forth to his friends. They say, hey, man, pick up the cart this way. Don't drop me. You know, whatever he had to say to them, he still had a part to play. See, many of us believe under the fallacy that because I'm paralyzed in my life, I don't have no say in what God can do. I don't have a say in my request of God to keep me from being paralyzed. Will you stay paralyzed in 2019 like you were in 2018? Or will you open your mouth and ask Jesus to see about you? Verse 21, verse 20, look at this right here. seeing their faith. Now notice, it didn't say Jesus saw the men. It didn't say he saw their clothes. It didn't say he saw if they were educated or non-educated. It didn't say to see how articulate they sounded when they spoke. He said he saw their faith. Do you know that your faith can be seen by God? Catch this. Oh man, this is good. You know, oh, this is beautiful. Catch this. They were in a paralytic situation, amen? But the man's faith got him out of his condition. Because the Bible said Jesus saw his faith. Many of us remain paralyzed because we keep blaming the environment that we find ourselves in. Well, if I didn't have this, I wouldn't be in this situation. If I had a daddy in my life, I wouldn't be in this situation. If I weren't raised in a certain neighborhood with low income, I wouldn't be in this situation. If I had somebody to take me to college, I get my driver's license. We use every excuse in the book to justify the paralysis that's in our life. But it's your faith that gets you out. Doesn't matter where you're from. Doesn't matter what neighborhood you're from. It doesn't matter that you may or may not have had the best parents in the world. Yes, I'm not minimizing that. Yes, a parent can impact the child in a very devastating way. I get that. But your faith trumps all of that. Because my hope is built on nothing less. Catch this. Seeing their faith, he said, friend, catch this, your sins are forgiven. Hold on. I gotta get this done in 10 minutes. Hold on. Why did God talk about his sins and not his condition? Why didn't he say, I see your faith, so get up and walk? He saw his faith and said, your sins are forgiven. See, God knows the mind of every human. So this man not only hoped to be healed physically, but he hoped to be healed spiritually. But the spirit realm always trumps. The spirit realm is superior to the earthly realm. So when we get our spirit man right, other things will fall in line if we trust in the Lord. So Jesus read this man's heart. He saw this man's heart that, hey, I believe that you are the Christ. You are. See, Luke described Jesus as the Son of Man. Son of Man means that he was fully human and he can identify with the pains and tragedy of the realities of life. So Luke always described Christ as the Son of Man. Son of Man appears 25 times in the book of Luke. John describes Christ as the Son of God. But we know that the Son of Man is also the Son of God. He's 100% man. He can understand what we go through. He understands. He feels our pain. But he's also the Son of God, meaning that he can do the unthinkable and the impossible with the unlovable in an untamable way. He can do it all. That's why if our hope is in him, we're good to go. Catch this. Your sins are forgiven you. Let's look further. The scribes, here's that crowd again, and Pharisees begin to reason, saying, who is the man who speaks blasphemies? Now, let me go back real quick. I got to move. Let me go back real quick. Many people feel that they got to get themselves right before they come to Christ. I'm paralyzed by this drug addiction. So help me get clean, and then I'll come to Christ. No, don't work like that. Christ saying, you need to come to me, and then I'll fix the drug addiction. See, that's why he didn't fix the paralysis first. The paralysis was fixed after he fixed his heart. So, oh man, y'all got to walk with me. See, many of us are trying to fix the sins we got in our lives. But God is saying you need to fix your faith and recondition your hope. And then I'll fix the stuff you struggle with. This guy struggled to walk. But he first struggled to see God before he struggled to walk. Is this blessing anybody tonight? It says, the scribes and Pharisees began to reason. You know, reason is not always good. Trying to look at things from a logical perspective is not always good when you're dealing with God. Amen? It says, he began to reason, saying, who is this man that speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? They don't even know that they backhandedly said that Jesus Christ was God. But they did it in a critical manner, not knowing you it's exactly right, son. Only God can forgive. So you said it well. But Jesus, aware of their reasonings, answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier? Gosh almighty. Which is easier? Your sins have been forgiven you, or to say, get up and walk. Now, he jammed them up with this question. Anybody can say your sins are forgiven you. But in Greek logic, somebody, Emmanuel, come up front for a second. Logic says, in order for me to forgive Emmanuel, he must first have done me wrong. So if Emmanuel steps on my foot, I like you stepping on my foot. If he steps on my foot, then I am to say, you know what? I forgive you. But this paralyzed man didn't do anything wrong. So God is the only person who's in the seat to forgive someone because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is no one righteous, no, not one. No man has sought after God at any time. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. So why would Christ say your sins are forgiven? Because he had those religious leaders. He knew they would have a hard time digesting that. And he knew that would spark their antennas to say, he's claiming to be God. You got that right, buddy. He is claiming to be God. But he says, you know what? What's easier? What's easier? You theologians in here. Because anybody can say, I forgive you. And that's subject for argument. It's subjective. But let me do something that's objective. Now, it's clarion clear. Because y'all saw his friends lure him. And he interrupted. Oh, my God. He interrupted so I can intervene. Sometimes you have to interrupt God so he can intervene. The Bible says he was teaching. He's into it. I mean, he's going through his theological discourse with these teachers and scribes and answering questions and talking about the kingdom. And while he's doing that, these crazy guys open up the roof because the Bible says it was directly over his head. So they went as close as they could get and as far as they could go. And they said, you know what? We will let you down, but you got to come to Christ on your own. Oh, my God. Some of y'all been invited to church tonight, but you got to come to Christ on your own. See, somebody let you down right where Christ is, but you got to have in your heart that you believe that he's the Son of God and the Son of Man. Now, catch this as we come to a close. It says here, which is easier? Say your sins are forgiven? Anybody can claim that. You can't see that. But let me give you something you can see. Or get up and walk. But so that you may No. The Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, get up and pick up your stretcher and go home. See, God just doesn't say, get up. He says, pick up and go home. Now, how do we know? Because we know Jesus healed a whole lot of people that didn't necessarily come to him spiritually. See, when God blesses, he blesses the unsaved and the saved. It rains on the just and the unjust. It rains trials and also rains blessings. If you're breathing God's air, whether you're the most wicked man in Portsmouth or you're the most righteous man in Norfolk, you are being blessed by God. It's one and the same. Amen? Okay, but this is different. How do we know this paralyzed man was converted by the Son of Man? The Bible says in verse 25, immediately he got up before them, these are the doubters and the haters, and picked up what he had been lying on, oh my God, and went home glorifying God. An unsaved person does not have the capacity to glorify God. This man not only had a change in his physiological frame, but he has a change in his spiritual frame. He went from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. But it was God the whole time that was with him pre-Christ when he was laying on his bed in a paralyzed state. It was God that was with him when his friends came and saw about his need. It was God pre-Christ that told his friends, pick up your buddy. Try to come through the front door. If the front door is shut, you find the steps. If the steps don't work, you find the tree. If the tree don't work, you throw a rock through the window. You do anything in your power to get close to your hope, because my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Happy New Year, saints. I didn't even give you my third point, but I got 2 minutes. The third point that we covered: faith in Jesus produces works that lead to results that are not contingent on what others think or feel. In 2019, stop being controlled about what other people think of you. Stop being controlled by the grimaces on their faces when you try to do something new for the Lord. Stop being controlled when you're trying to do something new for your family. You're trying to go to a higher level in life, and they're telling you, why are you trying so hard? Nobody from the family's ever done that. Why are you trying? You know where you're from. Don't be focused on the faces and the voices of negativity that you have been paralyzed by in 2018. Don't carry that in 2019. See, don't let the paralysis carry you. You carry the paralysis. See, notice, Jesus didn't tell him, get up and walk away from your cot. He said, pick up what was paralyzing you and you take control. So when people see the cot being manhandled by your hand, when they see the drug addiction, you've been clean for 20 plus years. When they see that you've been clean from other addictions, when they see that you've been clean from all kind of foolish thinking, they'll see you carrying around what used to carry you. Let's give God some praise tonight, saints. And as tradition will hold true, we like to close around the altar. It's officially 11:59. P.M. If there's anybody who wants to come up to the altar and ask God